This is H&N.
Good evening. This is H&N. The Hollow Table News Network is your not even remotely close to around the clock Star Wars, Galaxy of Heroes, news, reactions, reviews, theory crafting, and more source. I'm Sir Georges, your host, and today we're joined by my distinguished co-host, Celiac Sarah.
Hey! One second.
Recording in progress.
I forgot to hit record again.
What you just heard was Sortie. We have added her to the team. Sortie. If CG can just make their own Star Wars character, then we can add her to our podcast.
That would be great.
So CG, big headline today, created their own Star Wars character.
Can I?
Just like they created the Geonosian Brood Alpha, they have now created Sortie, a brand new Old Republic character. It's not actually in one of the Old Republic games.
No.
But it is very inspired by their games. So I would not be surprised if in the future the Old Republic decides to incorporate this character.
Mm-hmm. Well, wouldn't they have to get permission from Lucasfilm or Disney or whatever to do this?
Sure. Yeah, they're a real... you know, part of the Lucasfilm Star Wars galaxy.
You're right. Just
working on their own. So they've gotten the okay. They have had some authority with Brood Alpha and now Sortie to contribute, which I think is really cool.
That is I mean, it's weird because I'm not used to them doing it.
Right. But when you've made a game that gets so many people into Star Wars for 7 years, you've achieved quite a lot. You've earned the ability to contribute some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that makes sense. It's just surprising.
Yeah. I like it though. I think it's great.
Yeah.
And this is a much more, I guess, realistic, full-fledged character than Brood Alpha.
Mm-hmm.
Brood Alpha, you could see how, okay, there were a ton of Geonosians. Maybe somewhere around there could have been a leader. We're never going to interact with Geonosians in the Star Wars universe ever again, so it doesn't really matter. Whereas the Old Republic has now had multiple games. They met with the current people working on Old Republic on the stuff they are currently working on. So they're actually making a new character and something that's relevant and could be seen again.
It's interesting that we're getting so many Old Republic characters.
Yeah. Let's see, what was the last one we got?
Other than Malgus, obviously.
Yeah, Malgus.
But before that, it was the Jedi Knight Revan, Darth Revan characters.
Right. I guess this does also continue that video game theme, the legacy character theme.
Mm-hmm. It's just, it's funny when you were playing a video game that's getting characters from other video games.
It is. And it's a big deal for the video game to get other video game characters. So we've got Sortie as a headline. Darth Malgus is a conquest reward, which I don't think we've gone over his kit.
No, I don't think we have.
And Grand Inquisitor, they've announced is coming in June. No kit or anything yet.
Right.
We now have a timeline. So that's good. And then in today's update where they talked about Sortie, the First Order TIE pilot has gotten an Omicron for Grand Arena. That is pretty powerful.
I haven't actually looked at that Omicron yet, but I've heard it's really good.
We'll go over. It's pretty powerful. Pretty powerful. And not limited to any kind of leadership sense.
It's
just another character on the team. Yeah. I'm anxious to hear your thoughts. Okay, let's do Malgus first.
Okay.
I'll do Malgus.
Mm-hmm.
You do Sortie.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can maybe do First Order Type Pilot too.
All right. All right. So Malgus first. Go for it.
Okay. So I just think it's pretty cool. So I wanted to read it.
Yeah, go for it.
So Malgus, very cool looking. Not Vader, but does look like Vader without his helmet.
Yeah.
What I wish Vader looked like when he lost his helmet. Like, I'm still Vader. I'm still bad and can kick your butt. Not just now I keel over and die. This is the cool Vader. He's a tank leader, Sith Empire.
Mm-hmm.
First Sith Empire character we've had since Darth Revan.
Mm-hmm.
Basic unfettered rage, Zeta. Deal physical damage to target enemy with a 50% chance to attack again. Doubled if the target's a Jedi, so a guaranteed second hit then. On the second attack, Darth Malgus gains 20% max health, stacking max 100% until the end of the encounter. These attacks can't be countered or evaded, and he buffs all Sith Empire allies with crit damage up for 2 turns.
Hmm.
So pretty good basic.
Yeah.
Building health and giving a buff to all allies.
Yep. Guaranteed to attack again if it's a Jedi, basically.
Yeah.
Man. Okay.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Special one. Deprive senses Omicron. Cooldown of 3. He's got some nice force lightning in his animation.
Mm-hmm.
Deal physical damage to target enemy and inflict blind and shock for 2 turns. If the target was already shocked, shock all enemies for 2 turns and inflict ability block on the target enemy for 2 turns. Darth Malgus taunts for 2 turns. While in Grand Arenas, yeah, so that's the normal ability.
Okay. Yeah.
Pretty good. Blind and shot. The taunting. So a damaging taunt move. Now, while in Grand Arenas, all of these debuffs can't be resisted. And Sith Empire allies get buffed with crit chance up for 2 turns. While in Grand Arenas, if the target was already shocked, deal true damage to all other enemies. And Darth Malgus gains 50% turn meter.
Yikes.
So double damage to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody gets shocked still. And he's getting 50% turn meter. That's an okay buff.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's necessary.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to be like the make or break one.
Yeah. Yeah. Special 2, Dark Deception, Zeta, cooldown of 4.
Mm-hmm.
Deal true damage to target enemy equal to 40% of Darth Malgus's max health and inflict doubt on them for 2 turns. If Darth Malgus is in the leader slot and not the ally slot, this doubt can't be resisted. Increase target enemy's cooldowns by 1, which can't be resisted. Darth Malgus gains protection up for 20% and additional protection up 5% stacking for each debuff on each ally for 2 turns.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Very. Doubt debuff means that enemy can't gain bonus turn meter or buffs or recover protection.
Oh.
So it's a daze-like where you can't gain turn meter,
mm-hmm.
and the opposite of shock, where shock stops healing of health.
Right. Without
stops healing of protection.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Very interesting move. It's a max health move that isn't for 100%.
Mm-hmm. 40% though is still pretty good.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And with his maxing health, max mm-hmm. health increasing. If you do his basic 5 times, it'll double his health.
Yeah.
From the start of battle. So that will double the health damage of this move.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yikes. Okay.
And this is no cooldown. And so you can start off with this move, and it's a guaranteed cooldown increase on whoever he hits.
Right. Okay.
We don't have many of those.
So if you go first somehow, theoretically.
Yeah, sure.
Then you automatically increase their cooldowns of whoever you target.
Right. Whoever's going to go first on the enemy team. Wreck. Yeah. Or... I guess you can't get the Wreck if gas is there. Yeah, you get the idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Still.
Yeah. Pretty good moves.
Okay.
Okay, here's a giant leadership.
Oh my gosh. It's like a novel.
Okay. This is an Omicron leadership. Sith Empire allies are immune to turn meter reduction.
Good. Okay.
For each Sith Empire ally at the start of battle, excluding summoned allies. Interesting they say that. Because he doesn't have anything in his kit still. Like, I read the whole thing. There's nothing right. about him. Yeah.
That summons.
Yeah. For each Sith Empire ally, excluding summoned, Sith Empire allies have plus 10% crit chance. And max health and speed. So if you start with a full team, that's 50% crit chance, max health, and 50 speed boost.
Yeah, that's massive.
Wow. The first time any other ally falls below 50% health, at the end of that turn, all enemies are inflicted with fear for one turn, which can't be dispelled, evaded, or resisted. Wow.
Okay. Okay, but they don't like they just stay at whatever health they were at when they fell below it.
Right. No healing. No. Okay.
It's not like a savior type thing.
Or... Right, right.
Okay.
No way healing. Darth Malgus is immune to stun and fear. So only if you use the leader is he right. immune to stun and fear. Whenever doubt expires from an enemy, Sith Empire allies gain a stack of We Have Returned for 4 turns, which can't be copied, dispelled, or prevented.
We Have Returned? Are they hinting at something?
We Have Returned is a plus 5% crit damage and offense boost per stack.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah. So theoretically, he only has one move that puts doubt out there. But if somehow all 5 had doubt,
mm-hmm.
they start expiring, there is no limit to this rehab returned.
Yeah, I'm just noticing that. So you could theoretically keep putting it out.
Right.
Right? And then it keeps expiring.
Right.
Yikes.
Now for the Omicron, while in Grand Arenas, Sith Empire allies have plus 50% mastery, plus 30 speed, and plus 80% crit avoidance, and damage they receive is decreased by 15%.
Oh, so you're already starting by hitting them less hard.
Right. Yeah. Now the awesome. Whole team gets some kind of semi-galactic legend damage decrease.
Mm-hmm.
80% crit avoidance.
Mm-hmm. That's disgusting.
You can bring in your 100% maxed out crit chance.
Yeah.
You think, I'm guaranteed critical hit. No.
No.
And that 30 speed will go on top of the 50 speed.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So in Grand Arena, you're actually fighting an plus 80 speed to
Team.
all Sith Empire allies. That's crazy.
I guess you're not gonna trooper them.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Oh man, okay.
Troopers won't get their critical hits either.
Yeah, no, they won't. Oh man. Okay.
Whenever Sith Empire ally, so this is still the Omicron, the Grand Arena. When a Sith Empire ally is inflicted with a debuff, they recover 10% health and protection. Whenever doubt is dispelled on an enemy, that enemy is inflicted with exposed for 2 turns, which can't be resisted. While
Uh-oh.
enemies are inflicted with doubt, so before the debuff would do can't gain turn meter, but bonus turn meter, buffs, or recover protection. In addition to that, anyone with doubt has minus 20% speed, minus 20% tenacity, and minus 30% crit damage.
So, on the 20% chance that you can land a critical hit, you're going to do 30% less damage. Got it. Oh, man.
And the debuffs, like if Revan decides to give everybody 5 stacks of in what's that debuff he did?
Who, Darth Revan? Fear?
Yeah. No. To the allies. They all get that debuff that gives them speed and
Oh gosh, I don't even remember the name. I can picture the little icon.
right.
But
Whatever that
that would
is,
count.
yes.
Oh, okay.
So now when Darth Revan does that AoE shock and give all allies 5 stacks of that debuff, he's now also healing all allies for 50% health and protection.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Oh, and if you try and whittle down Darth Malak, every time you debuff him, he's going to be healing 10% health.
Yeah. 10% health and protection.
Yeah. Okay. Continuing the Omicron for leader, Grand Arena.
Continuing the novel, got it.
At the start of battle, if all allies are Sith, excluding summoned allies, so not just Sith Empire, but specifically Sith, so you can't have HK-47 on there.
Right. Okay, that's right.
Then Darth Malgus gains an additional 50% max health, 50% max protection, and 60 speed.
Okay. So,
140.
140.
Altogether, he's now got an additional 140 speed as a leader in Grand Arena.
So he'll be 140, the rest of the team will be 80.
Yes, as a boost to whatever they start with. Yes. So don't even need to mod him for speed at all.
No, you really don't. He's going to gain so much.
Let's say his base speed is 160. You can throw some mods on there to get him up to like a 250.
Oh my God.
And now he starts off at a 390.
Yeah.
And
You like what do you use against that speed, a Galactic Legend?
yes. And here is the icing on the cake.
Okay.
At the start of battle, Darth Malgus recovers 100% health and protection.
Oh my gosh. So you can't even try. So if you go in and you get like Malak out of the way and Malgus is at like half health, doesn't matter. You got to start from scratch.
Malgus.
Yeah. Like, right. If you go in on your second attempt, I mean.
Right. Like, let's say you get him down, and he's, like, just at 10%, but he does one of his powerful specials and kills you.
I'd be so mad. I would be so mad. Especially because, like, you see, because I bet you any, so what will end up happening is, so you'll lose, and then you'll see it on your screen with him at a sliver of red health, and you know when you go in there, he's just going to heal back up.
Right. Nothing you can do about it.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
This is the Omicron. This is the Omicron. I don't know what the other one is, but this is it.
Yeah. This is quite the Omicron.
Oh man.
Wow.
Okay.
And then he has a unique with an Omicron.
Mm-hmm.
At the start of battle, Darth Malgus gains 5% max health and protection for each other's ally. 10% max health and protection for each other's Sith Empire ally. That's twice, double dipping here.
So, okay. Because he's got the Sith tag and the Sith Empire tag, which I believe, like, Darth Revan does, and still, like, they all have Sith and Sith Empire, don't they? HK they, doesn't.
All of the Sith Empire do, except for HK.
So, would this double dip the same way like Vader's speed
it would
does?
They made sure to word this one so that it wasn't as confusing.
So it's 15%.
Other Sith ally. Yeah. So he won't count himself.
Okay, right. 50, right. But 50, it'll still be double dipping the same way. Because like when you count Palpatine for Vader, you double dip. Okay.
So let's say you bring in 4 other Sith Empire Sith. Then you're now getting plus 60% max health and protection from his unique, not counting the mastery boost he gets from his lead, the 50% max health and protection he gets from his Omicron.
Right.
So if you count the Omicron, so now just in Grand Arena, he's got the 60 plus the 50 for the Omicron plus the protection up he can get on his third special or second special.
Right.
And the max health increase he can get on his basic.
This is a lot of math.
It really is. So if you go in with 100k Malgus, he could definitely be 250 actually of health and protection.
And stacking.
Right. And growing as it goes along. Yeah.
Jeez.
So quite the tank. Oh, and you do reduced damage. And he has all that crit avoidance, so you can't land critical hits.
Oh, geez.
But nothing has said that he can't be annihilated.
Right. Okay.
So that's one way to get rid of him.
Instant kill him.
Right.
Right. Like you could theoretically use cat on him. That's expensive using cat there.
Very.
Like that's huge. Oh, oh man.
But I only read the first sentence of hold on. Hold the phone. Hold the phone.
Okay.
So he gets those max health protection boosts. Darth Malgus takes reduced damage from percent health damage effects. He's immune to healing immunity. And while debuffed, gains 10% defense and health steal.
Okay.
So bulkier. Damage over times don't do anything. I think Annihilate will still work.
Mm-hmm.
While Darth Malgus is taunting, he has plus 60% counter chance, plus 20% defense, and minus 20% tenacity.
It doesn't matter. You can't stun him.
Right. And debuffs heal him. So.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's why. He's like, please debuff me. It's fine. I can take it.
Yeah, they just kill me.
Okay. Well, so this is like, it's gonna take you time to build up and annihilate with Nihilus.
It will, yes. Yep. Or Cat, like you said, which would be a Galactic Legend swap.
Yeah.
Or non-Galactic Legend.
Which is expensive.
Yep. Okay. If all allies were Sith at the start of battle, then at the start of each encounter, Darth Malgus taunts for 2 turns. So now we got a free taunt.
Okay.
Whenever doubt expires on an enemy, that enemy is inflicted with fear for 1 turn. The first time each turn, doubt is dispelled on an enemy, 2 random enemies who didn't already have it are inflicted with doubt for 2 turns at the end of that turn. These debuffs can't be resisted.
So you're gonna have you're gonna have doubt on the whole team the whole time.
If they try to get rid of it. If it expires naturally, it'll go away.
Okay, okay.
But if you try to get rid of it yourself, then 2 other enemies will get that.
Okay. Yikes.
But if you do wait it out and let it expire naturally, then that character will get fear afterward.
Yeah.
So if you don't get rid of the doubt, then they become afraid. But if you do get rid of the doubt, then it will spread to others that will doubt.
Oh, man. Okay.
And now, not done yet.
For the Omicron.
The Omicron on his unique. While in Grand Arenas, if all allies were Sith at the start of battle, instead, the first time each turn doubt is dispelled on an enemy, all other enemies that didn't already have it are inflicted with doubt for 2 turns.
Ooh.
At the end of that turn. So instantly, everybody else gets doubt.
Oh.
Which means everybody instantly has -20% speed, tenacity, crit damage, can't gain bonus turn meter or buffs or recover protection. And if they try to get, if they let it expire, mm-hmm. they get fear.
Oh, yikes. So, okay. Okay.
Massive kit.
It's a massive kit. Pumped I will have him.
Right? That's like, a great character.
Yeah. So good.
And in fact, it might even open the door for some kind of split, some kind of 2 Sith Empire teams.
Like if you didn't put Darth Revan there?
Right. So let's say you did a Darth Revan, HK, Malak.
Mm-hmm.
But still, then you're only left with Sith Empire Trooper,
and Marauder,
Sith Assassin, Sith Marauder.
Mm-hmm.
That's at least 3 of his 4 that he needs.
Yikes. So
if they just release 1 more Sith Empire Sith,
do you think they'll do that?
Why not?
I don't know. Because I'm scared.
If they create 1 more, then we're all set. Because you can put like a... on Darth Revan's team, you can put Nest or something as your fit.
Right, right.
We do that all the time. As a
yeah.
group.
Yeah, we do.
So, we just had 1 more Sith Empire Sith. But I guess his kit doesn't require everybody to be Sith Empire.
No, I think you definitely are like gaining more from it, I think.
You could throw in a Talon.
Yeah.
Then everybody gets another 20% max health.
Jeez.
Another 20 speed. So now you're adding in 60 speed to him.
Mm. if you throw in Tal in there and you don't kill her first, when you kill him, isn't he just gonna automatically get his health and all that lovely junk back, and then you're gonna want to break your phone?
Yes. So maybe Talon is the fifth.
Oh my goodness.
Is Talon Old Republic? She's not Old Republic.
No, she was one of those legacy characters. Okay. But I don't think she's Old Republic. I can't remember what game she was from.
So she might be your best fit.
Oh, man.
The scrap Sith Empire character. And he's going to be taunting. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're going after him anyway, unless you have like a way to get around that.
Yeah.
Yikes. Yeah. So that's Malgus. Cool.
Now, Sarah, you can go over Sortie.
Sortie. I'm going to get used to the fact that it's called Sortie. I saw, can I just say, like the most tinfoil hat thing on Facebook today in one of the Star Wars groups that was like, okay, look at the thing. It says like it's 50 RT, right? And they're like 50, but if you could go 5 Old Republic tunes.
Oh.
And I was like, that's a little tinfoily. I like it, but it's tinfoily.
That's cool.
Okay, so this is a completely made up character.
Yeah.
That they, I think I saw, like I briefly glanced at the insights without spoiling anything, and it just said that they've been working with the Old Republic team.
To make Malgus.
Right, for Malgus. So then they like, I guess, picked their brain or drew inspiration or whatever for Sortie. Right.
They probably got models and stuff of the character in game.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to recreate that same character and have it move the same.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is a light side droid, support leader and Old Republic. Interesting. Okay. So the basic ability, calculated odds, really boring animation. Deal physical damage to target enemy. If the target is target locked, this attack is guaranteed to critically hit if able. If all allies are droids and this attack critically hits, the next ally to take a turn gains advantage for 2 turns at the start of their turn. Okay. Basic. That's pretty simple.
Yeah, pretty basic. Yeah.
All right. Her first special... I don't know. Sabacc shuffle.
Sabacc
shuffle. Cooldown of 4, which is a Zeta.
I know you don't know this, but
yeah,
she's a card dealer at a casino. Sometimes she whips the gun out, but mostly she's a Sabacc shuffler.
This is how she shuffles. Okay.
Yes.
Deal physical damage to all enemies 3 times and inflict defense down for 2 turns at the start of battle if all allies are non-separatist droids. This attack has a 60% chance to inflict target lock and will remove 10% turn meter for each instance of damage, max 30%. Additionally, allies gain 10% off in stacking until the end of the encounter each time this ability is used. All allies gain 5% turn meter for each debuff inflicted by this ability to a max of 60%. Huh.
Yes.
Okay.
So she shuffles 3 cards to each enemy.
Right.
Dealing 3 damage and the defense down. So let's say you're fighting 5 people. That's 5 debuffs.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they get resisted. So that's 25% turn meter.
Mm-hmm.
You're gaining. Everyone gains 10% offense. And it looks like if all 3 hit, everybody on the enemy side loses 30%.
Yeah. That's what it looks like. So
yeah, that's pretty powerful.
All right. Okay. Second special, tactical advantage, cooldown of 4 as well. Another really boring animation. Dispel all debuffs on the weakest ally and they gain advantage, health, steal, and speed up for 2 turns. If the ally was a non-separatist droid and if any debuffs were dispelled this way, they gain offense up and tenacity up for 2 turns and inflict target lock and speed down on the weakest enemy for 2 turns.
So no heal.
No heal. Just a dispel and a whole bunch of buffs.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
Interesting. Yeah.
So her leadership ability, spare parts, is a Zeta and an Omicron. Okay. So droid allies have plus 35% defense, plus 35 speed, and gain spare parts until the end of the battle, which can't be copied, dispelled, or prevented. At the start of battle, if all allies are droids, Sortie gains 30% max health and 40 speed. Okay. And then spare parts, plus 30% critical chance and plus 30% offense. If this character is defeated, they are revived with 100% health, gain foresight and protection up of 50% for 2 turns, and dispel this buff from all allies. This revive can't be prevented. Ooh. So, yeah. I.e., you annihilate them, they come back.
Yes.
Or you, like...
I don't know if annihilate... Oh, yeah, this revive can't be prevented. Yeah.
Yeah, right? Or, like, Boba's Rocket, or... They come back. So
that spare parts thing,
mm-hmm.
then this dispel this buff from all allies.
So it's only
one character
mm-hmm.
will ever get to come back.
Right.
Whoever the first is to die, they're brought back to life.
Right.
Using the spare parts from the other droids.
Right. Which, okay, makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's just the Zeta part, and then if you add the Omicron, which is a conquest Omicron, this is the first conquest Omicron.
Yep.
Okay. If all allies are non-separatist droids, the first time in battle, the first enemy to take a turn is defeated. Okay. All allies are revived with 60% health and gain damage immunity and instant defeat immunity. And instant defeat immunity for 2 turns. These buffs can't be copied, dispelled, or prevented. This revive can't be prevented. So whoever goes first on the enemy team, you go through your little battle. Three of your guys die, but then if you kill whoever went first, your guys come back.
Yeah.
And you gain damage immunity and instant defeat immunity. So they can't like try to annihilate you, essentially.
Or damage you. All your
or damage you.
Immune to everything for 2 turns.
Yeah, for 2 turns. Interesting.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Only okay. in Conquest.
That's only in Conquest. I don't know if I would use a Conquest Omicron.
Yeah.
Because, like, you get all these data disks and consumables and stuff, so why would I put... I don't know. I don't think I would use an Omicron on Conquest.
And it only triggers if you've lost allies and you kill one of their the first character to go.
Right. And if you kill the first character to go before you've lost allies, then it doesn't matter.
I guess you'll still get the damage immunity.
I don't know. Would you?
I think so.
Because I'm... So... I don't know. Do all allies gain damage immunity and instant defeat immunity, or is it only the ones that are revived?
I think it's everybody.
Interesting. I still don't know if I would use this.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
And I'm not sure. Like, they were saying how this is the leader to bring mm-hmm. To finally let the droids make their own team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. defense, speed, offense, and crit chance.
Right.
That's it. And then you get one person gets revived when they're done.
And you're going to use droids that aren't separatists.
Yeah. Even so, then, I don't think it's going to make a T3 L whatever.
Oh, L337.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to make that team work.
Mm-mm.
I'm not sure.
Interesting. This is a marquee?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so then she has her unique VIP treatment. At the start of battle, the weakest other ally gains VIP. Whenever the VIP is damaged, they gain stealth for 2 turns, and Sortie recovers 5% health and protection. Whenever Sortie is damaged, allies with VIP recover health and protection equal to 5% of Sortie's max health and protection. And they gain offense up for 2 turns. Sortie then gains defense up and 50% protection up, stacking to a max of 250% for 2 turns.
Wow.
If all allies are droids at the start of battle, Sortie and the VIP are immune to turn meter reduction. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she can kind of protect
one the weakest.
Character. Yeah. When she gets damaged, they get healed.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not a tank. She's not taunting.
Right, so.
So unless you get an AoE that's happening to hurt her.
Or you have someone, you put like R2 on there to stealth the team and right. keep her out in the open.
Right.
Which seems a little silly. I don't know if I would do that. Although he is listed in the synergy suggestions. And so is 3PO. Like this is 3PO and Chewie. This is just a weird.
Oh, you know what? If you do the R2 thing like you said.
Right.
Then you stealth everyone but her, Sortie. Then when she's damaged, she gains defense up and 50% protection up.
Yeah.
So even though she's getting damaged, she's getting protection up kind of like Nest. So it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So that would be a really good tactic.
So you make her get hit.
Yeah. But L3 in there is gonna get in the way, maybe. Because she'll taunt and dispel the stealth on herself.
I guess. Oh yeah, that's right, she would. So you wouldn't put L3 there.
But L3 is part of the synergy.
You know what? I'm surprised Kenobi's not in the synergy suggestions. Okay, so that is the brand new character that's never been in Star Wars anywhere ever before.
Yeah.
With the really lame animations. Okay. What else is there? Oh, there's that new Omicron too for who is it for? Is it First Order TIE Pilot?
Yes. So you got to check out this. It's pretty cool. Like it's massive. It's Darth Malgus leadership massive.
Where is this? Where did they put this?
I'm gonna the game updates.
Right. Thank you. Okay. I knew I saw it and then I did not read it.
Yeah.
So it's a Grand Arena Omicron.
Yeah. Just skip that first part and read the new final text. It makes it much easier.
Oh, okay. First Order TIE Pilot has plus 30% crit chance and plus 30% crit damage and gains advantage for 3 turns whenever an enemy falls below 100% health. First Order TIE Pilot has a 70% chance to gain foresight for 2 turns whenever they lose advantage. Okay. And then
that's
when
he's already had.
Right. So then when he's in Grand Arena And there are no Galactic Legion allies. And all allies are First Order. So no Supreme Kylo.
Yeah, that's the only thing you need to change.
But you could have a Galactic Legion enemy?
Yes.
Okay. First Order TIE pilot instead has a 100% chance to gain foresight at the start of the encounter. All allies gain 50% max health. Whenever an ally has advantage, they have plus 50% crit damage and plus 100 speed.
What?
At the start of the round, if an ally doesn't have advantage, they have plus 100% tenacity.
What?
Whenever an ally loses advantage, they recover 20% health and protection. Whenever First Order TIE pilot gains bonus turn meter, they gain advantage for one turn if they didn't already have it. And whenever he gains foresight, all allies gain foresight for two turns. Whoa. That 100 plus 100 speed is crazy.
Right? Bonus health, 100 mm-hmm. speed.
Mm-hmm.
Something about 100% tenacity.
Yeah, if you don't have advantage.
Yeah. And then when TIE pilot gains turn meter,
mm-hmm.
so from a fast Phasma or First Order officer,
mm-hmm.
they're going to gain advantage if they didn't already have it. And every time First Order TIE pilot loses advantage, they gain foresight.
Which means everyone gains foresight.
Right. So when First Order TIE pilot takes a turn,
mm-hmm.
they're giving everybody... let's say First Order TIE pilot does a critical hit on an enemy. It's now going to lose advantage and give mm-hmm. everybody foresight. Pretty much every time he takes a turn.
Yeah.
It's going to give everybody foresight.
Oh, man. This is a cool Omicron.
And not only does everyone get foresight, but every time you critically hit an enemy and lose advantage,
mm-hmm.
you gain 20% health and protection.
Yeah, so you heal yourself too.
Yeah. So a Kylo Ren unmasked counters and hits you with a critical
Ooh.
Hit.
Oh.
20% health and protection.
And he's already so annoying to chew through.
Plus, he gains 50% max health. So That's when he awesome. Heals for 8% of his health,
mm-hmm.
it's whatever it was originally, plus 50% more.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot. That is a lot. Yikes.
That gives First Order Stormtrooper a way to heal himself now.
Yeah. And he's going to be getting hit a lot.
Yeah.
While he has foresight.
And this, and this works with whatever leadership.
Yeah. So you have Phasma or crew.
Yep. Or Hux.
Oh, yeah, Hux, that's right.
Like, wow.
That's a good Omicron. That's better than the Conquest Omicron.
Right? This is the Omicron that you want to stick
on a yeah. kid. Oh, man.
This is top tier.
Yeah, that is a good Omicron. I might have to do that one. I have to save a couple for Malgus, though.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. Cool. So that's all of the news, pretty much, give or take.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Then you want to do the Bantha in the room?
Yeah. Our Datacrons.
Yeah. So there was a leak that has been confirmed.
Mm-hmm. They actually posted on the forums about it, which
they did.
I don't know if they've ever done that before to address something that's leaked.
They confirmed the validity of the Datacron leak,
mm-hmm.
which is a seasonal buff, a seasonal seasonal data disk that affects the entire game.
Yeah. It works for 3 months.
Yeah.
As of the timing of the leak, like that's not finalized info. So
right, true.
Could change if these ever come to be.
So each month there will be a new set of Datacrons that come out buffing a certain faction or two. And then if you build those up and you invest in those Datacrons, then for that month, throughout the whole game, those characters, individual characters as well as factions, can be buffed.
Right.
That way you can have a changing meta every month, every 3 months.
Crazy.
Which is good, theoretically.
Theoretically.
Instead of having a drought where 6 to 9 months is the same Galactic Legend, now another Galactic Legend can make their way to the top of the heap. Not full-time. Or let's say for a month, this new raid team is better because suddenly they've all got twice the health, or all the, it was all mostly, I think, from the pictures, stat boosts.
Right, yeah.
There were a couple character upgrades, like an example was Resistance Trooper. When an ally dies, they get a bonus turn and cooldowns moved or something.
Oh, okay.
So there'll be little stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't necessarily think it's bad.
I just have a lot of questions about it, which is understandable because we were shown not all of the information.
Right. It's a leak. It's just a few snippets.
And that's kind of frustrating because now I have questions about something that, you know, I don't know, were they going to roll this out in 3 months or were they going to roll this out in a year?
Like, right.
Do I need to be concerned about this? I don't know.
Right.
So it's a little annoying in that sense. Like, cause I'm curious, like, okay, well, what do I use to invest in them? And then after the 3 months is over and that Datacron is no longer valid, you know, they in one of those screenshots it said that you got some of your whatever resources back,
some kind of refund for materials,
but like is that like a 20% refund or a 50% refund? Like that, these are all things that are, you know, that are going to make me decide how much I want to engage with it or if I just want to like take it and leave it at base level. But again, like, do I need to really worry about that right now?
Right. Now, I would guess, pure speculation, but it would be a good, happy amount of refund materials. Like, you could probably start off your next Datacron with it. Mm-hmm. Where they're really going to get you is that you have the ability to re-roll all of your upgrades.
Right.
Because there's a random RNG as to which character or which faction is going to get buffed every time you improve the Datacron. So it'll say, like, these three characters, one of them could get buffed, and one of these two factions can get buffed. And you do it, and you spin the materials.
Okay.
And it's the opposite of what you wanted.
Kind of like when you slice them on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with this, you can do it again, replace what you just did, but there's still a chance you get the bad outcome from the first time. So you do it again.
Stupid.
So they're going to get you to ring the slot until it gets what you want.
But like, if I want to re-roll it, you should remove the option that I just got. Because I wouldn't re-roll it if I wanted that one.
Right.
But cross it off the list. Like if I, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of an example that would do that, but I can't right now. My brain is broken.
That is not how loot chests work.
No, that is not how a loot chest works. I know, but
yeah,
I don't know.
I get what you mean.
I just, I think I have more questions now than I really need to.
Sure.
So, and I think honestly, the thing that sucks about this too is that now the beta program is scrapped because this guy, whoever did that, or girl, whoever did it, broke an NDA, which, first of all, stupid. No yeah. other words for that, but you broke an NDA to do this. And then, so now, like, the beta program is trashed. So all these other people who are beta testers are, one, paying the price for you doing that, but also, like, now there's no feedback between players and CG in these right. initial testing phases. So, right. and I mentioned this with Xerath, there was no beta program in between Darkside Geo and Lightside Geo coming out. So when yeah. Lightside Geo rolled out, no betas looked at it. And you have platoons that affect zones and past phases. You have zones that are ridiculously, like, they're mathematically impossible to max.
Right.
And, like, you know, not to toot my own horn or our own horn here, but, like, I remember talking to you and Faye about Lightside Territory Battle when it first launched and doing the math on the zones and how like right away recognizing how impossible it was. And if right. there was a beta program when that was happening, so I feel like somebody would have been like, hey, like, is this intentional? Like, like, maybe dial, like, make it hard, but, like, dial these numbers down a little bit. I think
you threw an extra zero in there.
Or, you know, like, the phase two, another thing, and not to make this all about territory battles, it's just the example that I can think of. The phase two combat missions in territory battles award fewer points. Like, our guild, we can 3-star phase one. We mathematically cannot 3-star phase two. And then we can 3-star phase three. Yeah. Because the combat mission awards less points. And you're like, that doesn't make sense.
It makes sense.
It's just these little things that, like, I feel like having that back and forth would be really beneficial for. And now we don't get that anymore.
Definitely. Definitely.
Which means there's no back and forth on Datacrons.
That is bad. That is bad. Good yeah. points. Very good point, Sarah. The last, the sum comment of all the things that I think on the matter would probably be that CG recently has had a pretty good track record, I'd say.
Yeah, like, I haven't really felt, like, I don't know, slighted by them.
Conquest is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
They've upgraded it and updated it.
Mm-hmm.
The new Grand Arena replacing normal squad arena for crystals is awesome.
Love that.
Grand Arena has become so much more fun and mm-hmm. worth it now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And all the new characters, this whole Legends focus and video game focus,
mm-hmm.
that's a good, fun direction to take the game.
Well, and also, like, it's a fun direction to take the game, but it gives everyone another goalpost to shoot for, which, like, I know some people are like, oh, they just moved the goalpost, but, like, what do you do when you have all six Galactic Legends? Then what do you do?
Right.
Right? You need something to work towards. So you need new content.
And we've definitely needed something post Zeta.
Right.
Because otherwise, every single character with a Zeta has had nothing to do.
Right. And I mean, I think the Omicrons are fun. Like, they're
I do too.
They are expensive and it's a rare resource, but I was concerned that I'd be like, oh no, I have to remember who does what where. And I'm like, I don't really, like, I only have to remember when I'm in that game mode. So right. when I'm in Grand Arena, I don't care if Mara Jade has her Omicron because it doesn't matter. Like,
right. I like it.
Yeah. So they've been doing a good job. So it's,
right. I don't know. For me, they've earned some leeway that even if this might look bad on paper,
mm-hmm.
in the end, I bet it would be fun.
Well, and that's the thing.
Or whatever the final product is.
Right. We only saw however much of the story, right?
Right. I bet whatever the final product is, that would be fun.
And also, like, this, another question, like, did you know, like, this Datacron thing in the program, in the beta program, were these screenshots from 3 months ago and they've already made tweaks and now you're showing us the tweaks? Or did they just show you this last week and you hit the panic button?
Yeah.
Before providing feedback.
Right. Yep. We don't know.
Anyway. And to tie this all in, because I know we all get up in arms really, really easily, I have found that, like, the best thing is to just wait it out, see what happens. It's the same thing. Like, everyone got up in arms over Conquest because of the Inquisitor feats, and it's fine. Everything is good.
That's true. That's a good point. Which brings us to our I Love You, I Know segment. We are loving this game. Mm-hmm. And it's been going well lately. So let's talk about the last 2 weeks of Galaxy of Heroes or so. Let's start with you, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
What have you been enjoying?
Well, speaking of, I figured out all of the Conquest feats this go around, except for the only one that I couldn't figure out, which I feel like is an obvious one, and I can be excused for this, is Starkiller surviving, because I don't have Starkiller. I can tell you how to do it. I can have a pretty surefire answer of how to do it, but I just can't do it myself. That's been a ton of fun. So I'm almost done on my own account for Conquest.
Nice.
Because of that, what have you been enjoying?
I got the Starkiller feat.
So. Nice.
I just got Starkiller like a week ago or something.
Hmm. That's awesome.
It is. And then he's been at gear 11, gear 12. Just finally got the last little bits I needed to take him to gear 13. So now he's Relic 5.
Mm-hmm.
And still don't have what I need for his Omicron yet.
Yeah, because they never show up anywhere.
Right. But during double drops, I did get a double Omicron drop.
Did you?
I did. It was awesome.
Jealous.
Yeah. So now I've got Starkiller done. So all of my legends are all done. Until they get Grand Inquisitor in the game,
mm-hmm.
all ship character legends,
nice
journey guides, all of it is done.
So are you farming the Inquisitors?
I am.
Just to, like, get them there?
Yeah.
Cool.
So enjoying those. And the feats, tell me, so for Conquest, tell me then your strategy on how to get the Old Republic feat.
To get the kills in Sector 1 or the both. Global? The global.
The 40 wins without finding one node and spamming it.
I've been spamming it because it's just too, like, so my Old Republic, I've been taking Candorus because he's reliced on my team. And then I take Zalbar, I think is my fifth. But Zalbar's only gear 12 for me, so
me too.
I don't want to have to waste going back to clean up. So I've just been spamming the Sector 1 boss, mini boss. Which, I mean, I don't know. Maybe now that I have some consumables stashed, I can go clean up with Zalbar. It might work. And the reason why I spammed the mini boss at first was because you needed to get the 50 kills in Sector 1 anyway.
Right.
So I was like, instead of worrying about it, I'll just spam this for the kills, which I did. But now maybe I'll go clean up now that I've got the discs and see if that, because I do have to clean up some nodes anyway. There's no, like, I can't get to Red Crate with just the feats. I have to go back and clean up. So it could be possible now that my discs are sorted.
So mini boss in phase 1 is a good avenue to try and get that feat.
Yeah.
Good. That's the info I was looking for.
The Old Republic one, I actually stopped doing.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to finish it, but then when I found out Dread was broken, I needed to replace it with something. And I was like, okay, that's fine. And then when I realized how easy the Inquisitor feats are, I was like, well, I might as well, like, I dropped the 40 Old Republic wins and I was like, I'll just do the 14 Inquisitor wins in Sector 5 instead. Like,
why is that easy?
In Sector 5, you can do it two ways. So you can take Volatile Accelerator and Amplify Agony for your discs,
mm-hmm.
and you can go on the mini boss with HK. And you don't need the whole team to survive. So I 3-starred the node and then I went back. And with 100% stamina, I 3-starred it with my characters.
Nice.
And with 90 or 80% stamina, I think I lost a bunch of them, but like still won by the skin of my teeth. So I didn't feel comfortable spamming it. But if you go to the node.
Who's the leader?
I use Second Sister just because I wanted the offense. But other than that, I've also done Fifth Brother for the health boost.
How strong are your characters?
Second Sister is 6-star gear 11. Ninth is 4-star gear 10, gear 9 or gear 10. And then the other three are 3-star gear 8 or 9.
Nice.
And they have trash mods. So it's great. But the node, the bonus node that we get that used to be a data disk, you get Malgus as a summon when you're there.
Oh.
And even though he's summoned, it still counts them as a full Inquisitor team. So they can die. So I did that. So my node, it's random for everyone because it's like when you go through the sector, my node's a Padme node. And there's no buffs, like they don't get any buffs to them because the buff is that you get the summon. That's it. So they're not over prepared or doing damage or whatever. But I was able to use, so I still kept Volatile Accelerator and Amplify Agony on. But I was able to take my team down to 45% and still win consistently.
Nice.
At 45% stamina. So I did, I'm done the 14 wins. I just spammed it.
Nice.
And that was a cheaper option than doing 40 wins. So
very nice. Very nice.
So I'm not doing that one. I don't want to.
And last but not least, let's head to Uncle Owen's Moisture Farm to talk about who and what we're currently farming in-game. Because everyone knows work comes before going to Tasha Station to pick up power converters. I finished Starkiller.
Yeah.
So I'm working on my Inquisitoriuses.
Mm-hmm.
And refreshing for both of the new ships, Echelon and Star Fortress.
Mm-hmm.
Echelon is now 5-star, almost 6.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to relic up the First Order officer to 7.
Oh, you did?
I did. And I put all 6-dot mods on him.
Nice. I need to do that too.
I think it's made a little bit of a difference, but he still easily dies.
I think once you get him to 6-star, you'll be more comfortable.
We'll see. We'll see. I think it's super RNG.
Because I had him at 6-star the last week of the last Grand Arena, but mine's still whatever, Relic 5, and I didn't have 6-dot mods on him. So it was dicey if he would live. So I feel like maybe you would be okay.
In my experience, there's a lot of luck needed for Xanadu Blood not to double tap
right
on the basic. So if Xanadu does double tap, either on the opening, or I think I survived the opening okay, but mm-hmm. by the second time, if Xanadu double taps again, dead for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a fun fleet, though.
It is very fun. It is very fun. It is very fun.
Yeah.
What about you?
So I'm also farming those two ships. And I have started working on the Starkiller requirements. So I'm farming them. So right now I have been farming Mara Jade already, but I'm now
She's great.
Yeah. I took her to gear 11 and I gave her the Omicron for our guild, and she's almost 7-star now, I believe. So I'll be done her soon. And then I started doing Talon during double drops. So, cause I was trying to figure out who I should start in the Cantina one, since the other three are Cantina. And I was like, I will make more use out of Talon first. So I will just do that first.
Yeah.
It just sucks that they're Cantina farms. My signal data is going to suffer.
Yeah. For me, I did those as soon as they came out.
Yeah, I should have, and I didn't because of the fact that they were Cantina, and I should have just done it.
Yeah. So my wait was only like a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But now you've got delayed a couple of weeks.
Yeah. I do.
Well, thanks for joining us this week, everyone. Thanks, Sarah, for talking with me again. This was fun. That ought to do it. And until next time, Chewie, we're home.